You may be seated. Thank you for coming to Sunday service, and God bless you. Yesterday we had a good time here with the wedding of Joshua and Florence, and I continue to apologize for the timing yesterday. I think those who were here yesterday, they saw that we tried to bring Canada back to Africa, especially concerning timing. We were supposed to be here at 12, but you can imagine when did we start. So that's how things happen there in the other side of the planet. So it's because, I think it's because when we are in the daytime here, it's night there. So when we wake up there, it's day here. So it looks like it's night here. So it looks like that difference has also too much impact on the lives. So let us pray. We are going to hear the word of God. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We give you praise and honor for bringing us here in your house to worship you. We also thank you for the church and other people who are at the conference and retreat and family camp, and Pastor Vicky who's there with them. We also thank you that you have your message prepared to bless us today, and I thank you for choosing me to stand here before your people. Bless this time and lead us through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As I said, I'm going to speak today about the benefit of salvation. What do we get when we get saved? What are the things we benefit or we get after we are saved? And this is a very important point, very important subject that it's foundational that every Christian need to know or need to understand. And I believe it's not a new teaching, new lesson, new thing for many of us, but it's worthy to be repeated. If you read in 2 Peter, I don't know if you read this, I just want to read it for you. 2 Peter chapter 1, this is what the Bible says. It says that even though we've been walking in the truth, even though we've been walking in the knowledge, even though we've been walking in the right path, but being reminded about the word of God, about the truth is crucial. So let me read this about this part. It says, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them. This is not my subject today, but this just to let you know that what I'm talking about today may not be something new for you, but we ought to be reminded about it. It says, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them. So I know that what I'm going to speak today, you know it. But Peter is saying here, and you are firmly established in the truth that you have now. And verse 13, he says, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will be soon put aside as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. That was Peter saying to the Judaism that he's about to go, but it's worthy to remind them about the right thing concerning salvation or the word of God or Christian life. So I think and I believe 100% that we ought to always come back to the foundational of our salvation and think about it, ponder about it, and that keeps us strong and keeps us awake as we continue to wait our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. So what are the things we get when we are saved. What are the benefits of salvation? People follow much thing with interest when they see there is the benefit of it. When we arrived here, 2008, they told us after 3 years, 4 years by that time, you can apply for the citizenship. And we did apply for it, and we got it 2013, I think. And they told us the benefit of having citizenship of Canada, you are now able to elect or to vote. You are also able to have the passport and many things. So there are benefits of being a Canadian citizen. But what are the benefits of being a Christian? What are the benefits of being saved? What do we get? Someone would ask you, you want me to get saved? You're teaching me, you're preaching me the gospel. What are the benefits of it? The benefit of being saved. When you finish your PhD, or when you finish your master's or bachelor, or any rank of studies, you finish it, there are benefits that follow, that emanate from that level. For example, you finish your PhD, you may have another level of life, another level of salary, another level of living. So these are the benefits. So I'm going to bring, according to the Bible, what do we get? What do we benefit after we are saved? And I know this message can be a little bit hard, maybe challenging, but I really pray that you get it as a message which will encourage you to know for sure that this is important for every Christian. I want us to go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. This is what the Bible says. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, John is writing here and he's saying this way, I write those things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. My key passage here is verse 13. I write those things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know that you have eternal life. This is a key. What do we get from being saved? What are the benefits of being saved? What are the benefits of being a child of God? John is writing here and he says that when we believe in the Son of God, when we accept Jesus to be our personal Savior and Lord, there's something that will happen in our mind, in our knowledge, in our understanding. He says here, I write this to you that you may know that you have eternal life. I find three points here. One is the word or the verb to know. And the second is to believe. And the third is to have. You may know that you have eternal life. Not that you may think you have eternal life. Not that you may feel that you have eternal life. Not that you may guess that you have eternal life. Not that you may hope that you have eternal life. But that you may know deep down that you do have eternal life. Knowledge is power. When you know about something, it leads you, it awakes you, it helps you, it moves you, it drives you. Knowledge is something important. So God doesn't want us to be ignorant about our salvation. He wants us to know that once you believe in the Son of God, you have eternal life. One day the Lord has, when I was in Africa, one day the Lord has led me to talk to people on the road when I was going from Bogoro, which is our village, to Bunia, which is a city. So on my way, I was talking to people. I interacted with many people, almost 20 of them. And my question was, do you know that you're saved? And I got a lot of different answers. One was, I'm saved, but I'm not really sure. Others say, well, I'm saved, but only God knows. And my second question was, if Jesus comes now, are you sure you're going to go? Or if you die now, are you sure you're going to see God? And I got many asked as well, only God knows. I'm not sure yet. Only God knows. Who can know that? And sometimes we Christians, we suffer this way. And this is not good, because the Bible says that you may know that you do have eternal life because you've believed in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Salvation is knowable. Why? Because Jesus, he paid it all. He finished everything on the cross. Now, when you give your life to him, you receive him as your Savior and Lord. He makes you the child of God. He changes your life. So he writes and says, I write to you that you may know that you have eternal life. You have eternal life right now. The time you've believed in him, you have the eternal life right now. So you are saved, you are changed, you become a child of God. So you may know that you have eternal life. Why? Because you have believed in the Son of God. The word to believe, you have accepted Jesus. You have admitted that really he is the Son of God. You have trusted in him. You have understood and affirmed that, yes, I accept Jesus to be my personal Savior and Lord. This is very important, my friend. This is so crucial to know that you are a child of God. Coming to church is one thing. Serving God is another one. Ministering in different ministries, it's another one. It's also a good thing. But knowing deep down in your heart that I'm a child of God, if I die now, I will see God. If Jesus comes now, I will go. If this building falls on us now, if something happened right now, if the bomb clash in this church right now, I will see God. This knowledge, we deserve to know it. We need to know that. And if we need to know it, we need to know it now, because we are living today. Tomorrow belongs to God. I write to you that you may know that you have eternal life because you believe in Jesus Christ. Knowing that as I have accepted Jesus, as I've received Jesus in my life, I do have eternal life. This is very and very, very important. The Bible says here, I write to you that you may know that you have eternal life because you have received and accepted him. So, when you receive Jesus, the Bible says in John 1 verse 11 and 12, he came to his people did not accept him, but to whosoever believed, who received him, he gave them the power, the right to become a child of God. That day, that very day, when you open your heart, when you accepted from your heart that Jesus is your Lord, Jesus is your Savior, that day you receive him and you got the eternal life. It's very important. I remember there was a pastor, a minister of God back there in Africa, who, after serving God for a long time, one day he fell sick and he was on the bed and just about to die. And a priest, a preacher, visited him and then was praying for him, and then before he wanted to leave, and then the pastor, the sick guy on the bed, asked the minister of God, "Hey, before you leave me, I want you to help me here." And the evangelist said, "Man, pastor, tell me, what is your question?" And the pastor said, "Hey, now that I'm about to die, should I believe or repent? Of the two, which one? Should I believe or should I repent?" You know, there's words in the Bible: believe, repent, confess, accept. These are the words we need to make sure we understand them now, so that we don't fall in that trap of Satan or creating doubt in our life. And then the evangelist came back to him and said, "Hey, are you sure you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? You've been serving God for a long time." He said, "Well, I just feel in my heart that I want to know. Now I'm going to die. I'm about to see Jesus. But should I believe or should I repent?" Now, if I may ask you this question, church, here, how many would say, "Should he believe?" I want to see your hand. Okay. How many want to say, "Should he repent?" Well, you see now many hands. So you see, there is a need for us Christians to make sure we understand. When you do believe in Jesus, what happened? What happened? Salvation comes with the assurance of eternity, assurance of eternal life. When you accept Jesus, what the Bible says here, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." Well, this kind of question that the man of God was asking on this bed, I think, brings some doubt that maybe he didn't really believe in Jesus. Maybe he didn't know. He didn't really know what he did when he believed in Jesus. But if you really believe in Jesus, you accept him as your personal Savior and Lord, you are saved. That's what the Bible says. If you confess by your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. Hallelujah. So the benefit of salvation, number one, is that you get the assurance of eternal life. Assurance of eternal life. That is very, very important. Amazingly, Satan doesn't want you to know it. He wants to bring doubt and create too much confusion in our faith. But the truth is, Jesus paid it all. He finished the work. And now whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So church, we gotta know, by believing in Jesus, we have eternal life. By accepting him as our Savior and Lord, we have eternal life. The day, the time, the period, that very day that you knelt down, I don't know, you just were standing, you say something from your heart, you are weeping, I don't know what happened to you, but you say, "Yes, Jesus, today I accept you as my Savior and Lord." That day your name was written in the living book in heaven, and you got saved, and your name is there, and you have eternal life. Hallelujah. No need to doubt about it. Salvation brings assurance of eternity. So if you die today, you're going to see God. If you die now, you're going to see God. If Jesus comes today, you're going to see him. Why? Because you believed in his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. To know is important. Remember when I was in Africa, we were in Uganda waiting for our visa for Canada. Waiting. And when the visa came, we got it hand in our hand. That very day, we knew for a fact we are leaving Africa. We are going to Canada. Because we have the ticket. And who is the ticket to go to heaven? Jesus Christ. When you believe in him, you have the ticket. There's no fear. There's no doubt. Brothers and sisters, this is important for us, that we may know that we have eternal life if really we did believe in Jesus Christ. So salvation is knowable, and salvation is something, when you have it, it brings in you the assurance of eternity. You know for a fact that you are the child of God. Amen. The number two, with salvation, what's the second benefit of salvation? What's the second benefit of salvation? I want to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Again, this is a very familiar verse, but remember what I told you. I'm reminding you what you know, but it's important for us to be reminded because it's important for our Christian position, Christian life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. This is a very old passage that we know. We've read every day, but let me just remind you. The Bible says here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Very simple. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So with salvation also, we have what we call the newness of life, change. Salvation brings change in our life. Transformation. Salvation changes us from the darkness, removes us from the darkness to the light. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. It's a special grace that you've received. The Bible says it's not by work, but we are saved by the grace. That grace is the power, the supernatural power of God that comes in your life. And the Bible says in Titus, that grace teaches us to live the life that pleases God. Amen. So when you get saved, your life gets transformed. God, by his power and mercy and grace through the Holy Spirit, transforms your life, helps your life, changes your life. If anyone is in Christ, he is new creation. Suppose they put before you two things. In one bottle, there is a poison. In another bottle, there is a water or milk. You know what to choose. You're not going to choose poison because that's going to kill you. Why are you going to choose milk or water? Because that is beneficial for your health. Same thing. When you're saved, you become a new creation, and you know to choose between wrong and right, good and bad, curse and blessing, life and death. With salvation comes newness of life. If someone is in Christ, the old things that you're going to find in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, the old things, the fruit of the flesh, they are gone. And the new things start. The Spirit of God come and create in you the new things. That's only because Jesus has entered your life. So with salvation comes the newness of life. Let us go there and read in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. Sorry, Titus chapter 2. This is my favorite verse as well. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. Look what is written here, what Paul is saying here, chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Verse 12. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-control, upright, and godly lives in this present age. I love this. Only the grace of God can help you, can sustain you, can give you that power to overcome everything that is worldly and everything that is ungodly. Hallelujah. That the Bible says here, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us. So not only you are saved by grace, but that grace continues to teach you, continues to sustain you, continues to lead you, continues to empower you, continues to enable you to walk in the fear of God. Hallelujah. Salvation brings the newness of life. So if you got saved, you accept Jesus to be your personal savior. Before that, you are living worldly life. You are living the passion of the world. You are living the life of the world. Once Jesus enters your life, you will know for sure that now you are changed, you are transformed, you are a new person. Why? Because the grace that is inside of you, the grace of God that is in you, the grace of God that you partake has power to help you overcome the pressure of this world. Hallelujah. That the Bible says, Noah found the grace in the eyes of God. In his time, all people were defiled, all people were doing their things, but Noah did not react, act, or walk according to them. Why? Because he had found that grace in the eyes of God. The grace of God is not the license for sin, but the grace of God is the supernatural power of God to help you to say no for the thing of the world and to say yes for the thing of God. Hallelujah. So with salvation comes the newness of life. You can't tell me you are saved and you continue to live the same life you used to live before you got saved. That's not salvation. You should ask yourself, did you really surrender your life to Jesus? Because when the Holy Spirit comes in you, he transforms your life. He gives you a new start. Praise be the name of God. Hallelujah. If anyone is in Christ, she becomes a new creation. That is true. That is a fact. You change the address. Before, you used to go to the club, you used to go to the bar, you used to watch the wrong movie, you used to watch anything, bad thing, pornography, you name it. But once the Lord Jesus enters your life, you become a new creation. You are changed. The old things are past. You start a new life. Hallelujah. And that is what is salvation. When the children of Israel, they left Egypt, they crossed that sea. They were no longer in Egypt. They were in the way to Canaan. Hallelujah. So once you're saved, you are no longer in the world, in your way to heaven. You're a different person. That's why before you didn't used to read the Bible, but once you're saved, the Holy Spirit continue to bring you in your mind the love of the Word of God. You can read the Word of God. You can pray. You can go to church. You can serve God. Why? You are a new creation. Let's clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I told you before, these are the things you know. These are the things you've heard a long time ago. But we need to be reminded because it's important for us. There is no need to compromise your faith. There is no need to defile. There is no need because you know who you are in the Lord Jesus. You are a child of God. You are a different person. You are a new creation. The grace of God is sufficient to empower you, to empower us, to sustain you, to sustain us in keep doing what is right in the eyes of God. Number three, what do we get? What do we benefit from salvation? Romans chapter 6, verse 2. I like this passage. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. Oh, what a wonderful passage here. Paul is writing to the church of Roman. He says this. Let me read this to you. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. You can start from verse 21. What benefit did you reap at that time from the thing you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. 22. But now that you have been set free from sin, hallelujah, and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Amen. Let me repeat this. Verse 22, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Paul is telling the church of Rome that before you used to live in the flesh, you used to please the flesh, you used to live according to people of the flesh. But since you become a child of God, you are now the slave of God. And what the benefit you get from salvation here? He said, you get holiness and eternal life. And the word holiness means a lot of things. Many people call it sanctification, holiness, living a holy life. It's a very tough word, but it is possible because the Bible says so. The Bible says, God who has called us is holy. Therefore, we ought to be holy. And you cannot be holy by yourself. But only God has made us holy through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, what is our role here? Our role as a Christian is what we call sanctification. Sanctification. Paul is writing to Hebrews. He says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, he says, pursue peace with everybody with sanctification, without which no one will see God. So, sanctification or holiness, this is our part. Justification, that's God's work, that's Jesus' work, what he did on the cross. But sanctification, this is our part. This is our part, this is my part, to live in sanctification. And it has two dimensions. Number one, the horizontal sanctification and the vertical sanctification. In the vertical side, there are times you sin or you do things or you say things that against only God. You offend only God. Remember what David said? David said in Psalm 51, I have sinned against you and you alone. So there are things you do that really offend God and God alone. For instance, you're walking on the street, you see someone, you don't like him, or you speak against him, or you just hate him, or you just despise him. You despise the creation of God that is against God. But the sanctification also has that we call the horizontal side, the horizontal dimension. What is it? James chapter 5, the Bible says, confess sin among one another. Which means if I do something wrong against you, I say something wrong against you, I have offended you, I have said something wrong that you don't like, or something that I deep down know that is offending you, sanctification will constrain me, will lead me to come to you and say, brother or sister, I'm sorry. This is sanctification. Before God, if you offend God, and to people, if you offend people. That is very important. And it leads to holiness of life. So, sanctification also leads you to what we call the fear of God, the reverence of God. You walk in the fear of God. The Holy Spirit lead you, guide you, convict you to walk according to his will. And you walk by the fear of the Lord. And that is important. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. So, not only salvation brings the confidence or the assurance of eternity, it brings also the life of newness or sanctification. In addition, when you get saved, salvation brings to you what we call adoption. I'm going to read for you here Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, and chapter 2, and verse 19. Chapter 1, verse 5, I like this passage as well. The Bible says this. Chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, I will start from verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in the sight. Oh, I like this. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. Amen. So we find here, in Christ Jesus, we were adopted. That is the past tense. He adopted us. He adopted us. Paul says here, he adopted us as his sons through Jesus Christ. So, before you got saved, you were a stranger. That's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Look at that. The Bible says, consequently, you are no longer foreigner and aliens, but fellow citizen with God's people and members. Look at this. And members of God's household. Before salvation, you were out of the household of God. You are a foreigner. You are a stranger. But when you got saved, you become a member of God's household. What a beautiful picture to become in the family of God. So what do we get when we are adopted by God? What are the things we get there? We have access through prayer. We can speak to God as our Father. We can talk to Him. We can worship Him. He is our Father. And also, we benefit His protection. He will protect us. Not only that, also His provision. And also, His presence, His Holy Spirit in and with us. So salvation brings also adoption. You become the child of God. You become the son or the daughter of God. So, brothers and sisters, how beautiful it is to be a saved, to be a child of God, to accept Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. And those are the things we ought to know, we need to know, we need to accept. And that after we are saved, they are the things that we benefit from that salvation. It's important, brothers and sisters, that we learn and we know them, because sometimes when we don't know exactly what salvation has brought us, many people just take it lightly. And Paul is saying here, walk in your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because it's something that cost Jesus His life. He was to sacrifice Himself on the cross so that we can be saved. Salvation is important. He paid it all on the cross. There's nothing you can do. It's not by work. It's not by ministry. It's not by giving. It's not by anything you can do. But He finished all the work on the cross, and He said, it is finished. Now everyone can get saved. And what do you have to do? You get saved by believing Him, and those benefit comes to you. In Africa, I always come back there. In Africa, one of the things that I miss is that at the funeral in Africa, they can give all the biography, all the testimony, but they never fail to tell people either this person was a Christian or he was not. Here we don't have that much. But let me tell you the truth. Anything concerning our Christian life and anything concerning salvation should not be taken lightly, because this is the key. It's the key for eternity. It's the key for eternal life. So when you get saved, you get the benefit of being sure that if you die, you can see God. You know for a fact that your life has changed, moved from the darkness to the light, and your lifestyle changed. You live in newness of life, and also you know for a fact that you are now the member of the family of God. That's so awesome, and that's so amazing. And that's the reason why praising God is something that you cannot even stop. when you recall all the benefit of that salvation, you can just start, you can just praise Him and worship Him and glorify His name for what He has done to our life. My brothers and sisters, I feel to pray now, but I feel to ask you this question. We are witness, even this church of Mountain View, that we are not immortal, that we are not living forever, that we are dying, that we're gonna go one day. And I'm not trying to frustrate no one, but this is the fact. I know people used to be with them in this church that have left us, that we can't see them anymore. And I don't know who's gonna follow. Maybe me, maybe you. We are dying. We are not going to stay here forever. We are in pilgrimage. We are going. My question is here. How long will you stay doubting about your salvation? Isn't it good for you to know for sure that if Jesus comes today, I will see him? You've done a good step. You love God so far. You leave your house. You come to church. You've been so faithful. You've been loving God. Maybe you give your tithe. But my question is here. Are you saved? Have you given your life to Jesus? Are you really sure that if Jesus comes now, you will go? This is important, my friend. This is for your benefit. And if it is important, it's important now that you know, that I know, that we know that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and we do have eternal life. God bless you. We're going to pray. Let's pray.